Welcome to the Lifestyle Accountant Show. I'm your host, Meryl Johnston, and this podcast exists to help today's accounting firm owners build successful firms while also living a healthy, happy life without sacrificing sleep, your weekends, or time with loved ones. On today's episode, we are talking about building a lifestyle-friendly firm.
For me, like I just wanted to build a firm that I always wanted to work at, which was more about working smarter and harder, but like hard in the right ways and working on things that created impact and outputs rather than this idea of like how hard can we grind and how many hours can we put in.
Our guest for today is Nicole McKenzie, the founder and CEO of Momentum Accounting. She's a CPA, but identifies more as an entrepreneur and small business advisor. She's also a regular on the Accounting High podcast hosted by Scott Scarano. With her team at Momentum Accounting, they provide accounting and payroll support for growing marketing agencies. Nicole is someone who runs a successful firm, but also enjoys life and prioritizes fun. So of course, I had to have her on the podcast to chat about building a lifestyle-friendly firm. During today's episode, we discuss how we each define success. What does that mean from a personal and a business perspective? How have our lifestyle and business goals changed for each of us over time? Making sacrifices, both early in our career and as business owners, and the things we're not willing to compromise on. Making changes in the business to achieve a better lifestyle, and hiring decisions to create more flexibility and freedom. All that and more coming right up on the Lifestyle Accountant Show. This podcast is brought to you by TeamUp, helping you to recruit rockstar Filipino accounting staff without the ongoing BPO fees, and Anitro, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I'll be sharing more about my experiences with these products later in the show. Hey, Nicole, welcome to the Lifestyle Accountant Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Really excited to catch up with you again. We met at QuickBooks Connect when you were in the U.S., and I've always seen you online, and so it was really fun to actually meet you face-to-face.
It was great meeting you, and it was funny. We didn't meet in any of the sessions. It was at the nightclub. That was where...
It was on the dance floor. You will always find me on the dance floor at all the conferences. You will not find me at breakfast at 7 in the morning, that's for sure.
So today we're talking about the concept of what is enough and whether to continue scaling our businesses or how much effort we put into that compared to prioritizing freedom and other things, fun in our lives. But before we dive into that, can you give the listeners just a little bit of background about who you are, what Momentum Accounting is, what kind of clients you work with?
Sure. So I've been in the accounting industry for 12 years. I live in just outside San Francisco in California. After college, I went and worked at a traditional CPA firm, did audits, did taxes, found myself looking around one day and thinking, man, I don't think I chose the right profession. I just didn't feel like I belonged in the CPA world. And so around that same time, our firm added on outsourced accounting as an additional service line. And I think the US was probably a bit behind Australia and New Zealand and the UK in that Xero came about. And then our main product that was always used in the United States was Intuit QuickBooks. And so there was all this with Xero coming on, QuickBooks made an online product, QuickBooks Online, that we all know and are familiar with. So a lot of the CPA firms in the United States started adding on this additional service line. And I saw the potential to do that instead. And that really excited me. So I moved from the tax department to our CAS department is what we call it here in the US. But I loved that part of it. I loved the technology side of it. I loved being involved in more of the day-to-day operations of small business owners. And so this was like a whole new world of accounting, a whole new career path that like when I graduated from college wasn't a thing. It didn't exist. And I didn't even know it was available to me. And that's when I just, at a certain point, I got burnt out at that CPA firm and decided to start my own thing. So I started Momentum about 7 years ago, and we service small businesses across the US. We've always been remote. We have a small team of 8, and we do everything from your basic bookkeeping and payroll to helping business owners understand what levers they can pull in their business to be more profitable or increase cash flow. And then we have a niche in creative agencies, marketing agencies, professional service businesses, and SaaS companies. We don't do any taxes. I think I've had like PTSD from taxes, so decided I didn't want to do that. And also I didn't like the lifestyle of having tax season. That's one of the things I hated, was those mandatory Saturdays that I had when I was at a CPA firm. For me, like, I just wanted to build a firm that I always wanted to work at, which was more about working smarter and harder, but like hard in the right ways and working on things that created impact and outputs, rather than this idea of like, how hard can we grind and how many hours can we put in?
It's funny when you said you were thinking about whether accounting was for you. And I actually was thinking about leaving the profession back after I'd become a chartered accountant, which is like a CPA in the US, and thinking I have to go to an office every day. I just want to be surfing. And it was actually through a friend of mine who was a surfer. We were out chatting in between waves, and she was saying, have you heard of this product called Xero? I hadn't, but it was, you could do accounting in the cloud. So then I looked into that and realized, maybe I can actually live the life I want of working from anywhere and having freedom and control over when I work. And so that was how I came back to the accounting industry. I dabbled in a tech startup before coming back into the accounting industry. So it's funny that you say that.
Yeah, and I think I'm similar to you in that I remember at the CPA firm, I actually bought an SAD light. I forget what it stands for. I was like seasonal depression light or something, because I went to school on the coast. And so I was used to 80 degree weather every day, being outside, always played sports my whole life. And then I remember when I interned at KPMG, one of the big four, I think I gained like 10 pounds that summer. And I was like, it was such a shock to my body. And so when I was thinking about leaving, I thought maybe I'll go into fitness or do something. I was like taking personality tests. And I think it's a shame that there's a lot of smart people in our industry that leave accounting because they feel the same way, or they don't feel like they fit in, or maybe they have a different personality than a traditional CPA. So I think it's so cool. And I think, you know, Xero, he said, is a catalyst to that. It created this whole different lifestyle of, we can do this accounting part, which we love, and work with clients that we love, but we don't have to have the same lifestyle as a traditional CPA.
Absolutely. So wanted to take the conversation to those earlier days of your business. So thinking about what success meant to you then, but also how you think about success now. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. And I think for me, success is when I wake up that day, I like what I'm doing and I'm moving forward. Mm-hmm. And initially I put a lot of pressure on myself when people would ask that question, to say, I think my revenue needs to be X amount, or my team size needs to be this, or I need to be making this much money. I got myself to a good place last year where I was in really the financial situation that I wanted to be in, more money than I ever, if you would have told me I was making that when I was an employee, it would have blown my mind. But you always want more, right? And so I think for me, I'm focused more on, one, how do I make sure I'm having fun in what I'm doing every day? And as long as I'm having fun, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. How do I continue to develop my team and the people around me? And how do I make impact for my clients? For me, impact means that we're working with a fewer number of clients and doing bigger things for them versus a large number of clients doing smaller things. So for example, our biggest client that we worked with for 3 years, when we first came on and started working with them, they had no financial function. They had been stolen from, they'd been embezzled from. They were trying to sell their business but couldn't because they had no financials. And so we spent 3 years basically transforming their business. And last week, Ramona and my team had dinner with one of the owners celebrating because they sold their business for $3 million and are retiring in Hawaii. And those are the sorts of transformation that get me out of bed in the morning. The thing that I struggle with is, I know my role right now is to be the CEO of Momentum Accounting. I think we'll always be boutique, a small firm. Like, the most clients I think we'll ever have is probably like 60.
Yeah, I like how you prioritize fun. And so for me, when I have tried to define success for myself, a lot of the factors are on the personal side. So I have a slightly different approach, but I think working towards a similar goal. So I do document, I'm quite specific about the things that I want to achieve, And I think there's probably, I think I've always been like that, but since kids, I've had to do that. So I know that I want to exercise daily, but that can be hard with a three-year-old and a one-year-old. So I have to be intentional that actually that's really important to me and that I'm trying to be home by 4 p.m. every day so I can have the afternoons with my kids. And every year I want to do an annual adventure with my dad and my brother. And it's funny, before kids, I probably wouldn't have even noted those things down, but yeah. Now I actually write them down. These are things that I want to happen because it's harder to make that happen, balancing a business and family. And I think things like revenue goals can be a bit of a vanity metric. And yeah. As accountants, we know that it's profit that matters more. And something I actually do have a number that I'm working towards, but for me, it's more of a North Star. So am I going in the right direction? I use something from the FIRE framework. So FIRE is financial independence, retire early. And they have something called the 4% rule. So if you have $1 million in the bank, then if you had that conservatively invested, and you withdrew 4%, so 40,000 each year, then that gives you a bit of a framework of how much money do you need in conservatively invested stocks or
in the bank account.
Invested.
If you were to sell your business, like how much would you need to sell it for in order to live off that money? And it's always more than you think it is.
Yes. And so I like having that number because that then helps with my partner. We can have conversations about, okay, do we want to put it in the pool in the backyard or are we going to invest that in trying to create wealth? But also making sure I had some health issues last year, which I talk about in another episode of this podcast. And so that really made me think about, I don't want to defer life until I'm 50 and retired. I want to live life now and have experiences and enjoy things now and not just be saving for a future that's a long time away.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Like on, you know, when you run your own business, for me, I'm making decisions on do I invest in my business or do I invest other places because my partner and I, he's in real estate or he's a firefighter, but he also flips houses. We own real estate together. He's planning on retiring early and so he can do construction. And so there's also opportunity there to invest money on that side of things. So I think with your business, it's kind of fun. It's like, do I want to throw $30,000 at marketing and grow this? Or what's the ROI on a passive real estate investment? And we're also going through the same discussion on, do we want to put a pool in? And part of me is, oh, that's a lot of money. I don't know. Do you wait or do you do it now? We're in a situation where we don't have kids. So there's a little more flexibility when it comes to finances. We just have our two Maine Coon cats that we have to take care of. So it makes it a little bit easier because I don't have to think about what's leaving a legacy to somebody else. I can just think more about living today and what the life Mike and I want to have together in the future looks like.
And so when you made that jump and you were starting your business, what were your expectations about what you wanted to do with your business? And has that changed from 7-8 years ago?
I remember reading the book, The E-Myth, when I first started my business. And that book is all about being the CEO versus being the worker, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't really have a business if you're the one doing the work. And so as soon as I read that, I realized that this idea of exiting each part of the business. And so in the beginning, it was very much me grinding, doing all the work, going to all the networking meetings. And it's funny, it's like, you leave your job because you don't want to work 12 hours a day and then you start a business and then you work 13, 14 hours a day. But I loved it. Like I woke up every day just super excited because I was making a difference and I was doing the things the way that I wanted to do it. And I was using the technology that I wanted to use. So I think my original goal was $1 million in revenue. And then the next goal has been $2.5 million in revenue. It's this idea of the North Star moving in the right direction. So I guess for me, it's like, I don't really need to make more money. Actually, probably within the last couple months is when I came to that realization of like, why am I growing just to grow? The reason I wanted to get beyond that. So for me, like $1 million represented the financial situation that I wanted to be in. Like I could just stay there. I'll be making the amount of money that I want to make. And then the next progression of that is how do I help my team make, like, how do I create more economics so that my team can make more money? So that was really the reason behind growth, getting momentum to the point where the team's happy, they're making good money is the goal with that. So then I can go out and build something else if I want.
Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by TeamUp, helping you to recruit rockstar Filipino accounting staff without the ongoing BPO fees. We've had Filipino accountants on the Bean Ninjas team for about 4 or 5 years. But my experience with BPOs has been average at best. When COVID hit and our BPO team moved to remote work,
We started to question the value of paying an ongoing monthly fee for every team member, particularly as we had a couple of years of experience now working with an offshore team and no longer needed all of the support that a BPO can provide. TeamUp provides fixed price recruitment with no ongoing fees. It costs around $3,000 for them to run the end-to-end hiring process. That starts with creating an attractive job ad, promoting it on multiple platforms, attracting hundreds of candidates, which they vet and interview and test, and ultimately they present the top three candidates for you to interview. We've just hired our first accountant in the Philippines with TeamUp. The process took about 5 weeks from beginning to end and saved our manager in the Philippines hours and hours of time. It's a busy time of year for us, and constantly hiring was taking her away from other valuable work like reviewing client files and also managing our team in the Philippines. TeamUp also offers an employer of record service through their partners, and that takes care of the compliance side of things. So next time you're looking to hire a rockstar accountant in the Philippines, check out hireteamup.com. That's H-I-R-E, teamup, T-E-A-M-U-P.com. Now let's hear from one of our sponsors, Anitra, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I've used a range of different e-signature solutions over the years. At one point, we had three or four different DocuSign accounts floating around at BNinjas, which had been set up by different team members. Sometimes we had a bunch of documents that needed signing, and at other times we didn't. And as an accountant, it annoys me to pay for something that we weren't always using. When I heard that Anitra had simple pay-as-you-go pricing and they understood the accounting industry, I had to check it out. It was super easy to set up an account and send out my first agreement for signing. Bonus, it meets the identity verification standards of the ATO and Tax Practitioners Board. So next time you are looking into an e-signature solution, give Anitra a go. I read an interesting article recently, and it was talking about the ambition tax. And so in the article, it was about Tom Brady and the separation between him and his wife, a footballer for the Australians listening, and was talking about some of the things he had to sacrifice to achieve what he has. So he hadn't attended a Christmas or a Thanksgiving in 23 years, his birthdays, weddings, funerals. So he probably had decisions to make around what is he committed to? Is he going to be the best quarterback, or is he going to be the best father or husband? And I like to think about some of the decisions that I'm making. Who am I showing up for? But also what sacrifices I'm willing to make. And I'm interested to hear whether there's any sacrifices you had to make in the early days of your business or now. And is there anything that you would have done differently?
I remember going to, we had this, oh God. So from the very beginning, it was like Ramona, who was my first hire, and me, and like the shit that we went through. Like we would drive 2 hours to clients in traffic and work on an ERP system that we had no idea how to use with a lady in the AP department who couldn't even figure out how to use two-factor authentication and said that we were, that we didn't know, we're like, go to the business owner and complain about us because she couldn't physically see what was happening because we implemented bill.com and she was only used to using paper. She didn't even have a cell phone. And so we had to like put ourselves in some really stressful situations to the point where there's several times where I question of, should we have taken on this client? What are we doing? But we would always just figure it out. And it's like these clients that I would probably say no to nowadays, I said yes to everything. And I think saying yes to everything, and like that was like my competitiveness coming out of knowing that I could figure it out if I just tried it. And so I worked my ass off. But look, I don't have kids. I probably saw my family less. I probably worked pretty hard.
Yeah. When you were telling the story of the AP lady, I was trying to think back to some of the things I did that I would never do now. I remember being on a holiday in Bali, and I bought out my business partner. So we started the business together and we owned 50% each. And I just spent a lot of my savings I didn't know how to negotiate business sale agreements back then. Spent a lot of my savings, and it was over in Bali on this holiday we'd been looking forward to. And I worked the whole time. I was on my little moped driving to the cafe to just work all day. And raining, thinking, what am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Actually, yeah, I did do that. I don't know. I think I forgot, to be honest. When I worked for the ex-NFL football player, literally he was calling me at all hours of the night. Like it was anytime I saw the phone ring, it was like the stomach drop. I definitely did not have boundaries with clients back in the day. Now we have very clear boundaries, but I think I've forgotten about all of that stuff. So I
blocked it out.
It was so long ago. And I think a lot of people will see success and then they didn't see all of the hard work that you put in to get there.
Yeah, I think now I'm in a more comfortable position now too. But I do sometimes try to think back to some of the things I had to do to get here, because it was going to those networking events when I didn't feel like it, working with clients that weren't the right fit. I tried all kinds of different marketing things. I was doing cold calling back in the early days, just anything. I never got it to work, but just trying anything. And so many things didn't work. But I think experimenting with all of those different things, saying yes to everything in the beginning, was then what allowed later on the ability to say no and to set better boundaries.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to networking groups and standing up in front of a room terrified me. Going into a room with a group of people I'd never met before terrified me. But I just kept putting myself in uncomfortable situations. And now you can see me, like, I feel like my personality has changed a lot. My confidence has changed a lot because I continue to put myself in these really uncomfortable situations. And now I can walk into a room and now I can stand up in front of a room and for the most part, it's not that big of a deal. But I used to stand up and just shake and I was to be so embarrassed after. I can't believe I said that. I don't even know what I said. I'm just like be blacked out when I was talking because I was so nervous.
Yeah. So are there any other changes you've made in your business to focus more on the lifestyle side of things?
Yes. And I think like when I think about just defining work-life balance, like for me, work and life are one thing. And so when I go to accounting conferences or I'm doing the podcast with Scott, it's accounting related, but Scott's one of my best friends. And when I go to these conferences, it's going on a trip. So it's, I think when you do what you love every day, your work and your life just become one and it allows you to be more authentic. Like I've definitely become more, I feel like now I can be 100% myself, whether that be online or in person or talking to a client or wearing what I want to wear versus what it used to be when I was at a CPA firm. And I hope that my team feels that way too, that they can show up every day and be authentic. So I think the world's changed a lot in that way, especially as we moved online.
Yeah, because you talked about that you used to go out on site. Now it seems to be more remote. Are there any other things like that where you prioritize what you want or flexibility, freedom, all that for your team?
So we try not to take on businesses that have cash flow issues. So we used to work with like retail, restaurant types of businesses that were hard to nail down on a computer environment because they were usually on the floor. So it'd be like after hours is when they'd be texting you, be stressed out about cash flow issues. And oh, people in real estate, lawyers, certain types of personalities that just stress you out. Or maybe see it more as a vendor relationship instead of a partnership. And so we're very particular about the clients that we work with now. I think a lot of, at least when I was at my firm, as a staff, you just are given the clients that the firm closes and typically they don't put a lot of thought into, is this person someone that my team would want to work with? And Ashley, my CEO who does sales, is always a good check and balance for that because for me as the business owner, obviously a new sale is like more money in my pocket, but she does a very good job of looking for those red flags and weeding out clients that we know that would negatively impact the day-to-day livelihoods of our team members because they're the ones that have to, we're very embedded in our clients' businesses and that can just be very draining and stressful when you have one client that's just like a huge pain in your ass or like their stress becomes your stress. So I would say that's definitely one thing. I do miss going in person to clients, but it is nice to be able to do work from anywhere. You know, some of our team, Ramona, she loves going skiing. So she'll drive to Tahoe and work from Tahoe, do half day skiing, half day working. And yeah, I think that's been really helpful.
And so what's your role in the business these days? You've got Ashley, who's taking on a lot of the COO responsibilities. And the reason I'm asking is because I think for other business owners who are trying to get to that area where they're just focusing on the visionary type work, what does that mean? How do you spend your time? Where do you have the most impact?
Yeah, so the visionary role for sure. And like a lot of people have read EOS, right? And this idea of the visionary and the integrator. And up until 3 years ago, I'd probably never heard of that. And I hired Ashley Carroll, my COO. She's been with me for over 3 years now. But I remember when I hired her, I was looking for somebody just to do the work, right? I had hired a couple of employees at this time. We had maybe 20 clients. And so I was just looking for another accountant to do the accounting work. And she found me on LinkedIn and sent me a video. And I was so impressed by her as a human being that, and she told me she didn't want to do the accounting work. She wanted to do more of this. We didn't even have a word for it then. It was now she's my COO, but I can't tell you how much that changed my life, because there's nothing more impactful than having somebody that can integrate, like actually being able to step away and be the visionary and think about the direction of the business and come up, be creative and have that space. And then when you have an idea, not feeling like paralyzed that you can't execute it. And someone like that, their full-time job is to take that idea and then integrate it. And so I think that was like the first time I was able to really step away from the day-to-day grind of the business and have that flexibility. And so since she's been working for me for 3 years now, I'm at a really good place where I can step away from the business for a week or two and there's not a big impact. And so that's what I always wanted, was like the end goal for me is that if I show up to work, I'm working on stuff I'm excited about. But if I don't show up to work, the business continues to move on without me.
Yeah. I'll quickly define the visionary integrator terms for someone that might have read the book. As you said, that comes from the EOS framework, which is in the book Traction. But there's another book called Rocket Fuel, which goes into a lot more detail around what's a visionary and what's an integrator. And a lot of entrepreneurs are visionaries, where they're great at the big ideas, good at relationships, and thinking strategy, but maybe don't love all the execution of the project manage, putting it in the project management system and holding people accountable and deadlines. And so a really nice pairing that they talk about is having that, giving the visionary that space to do that creative thinking and come up with new ideas, but then pairing that with someone who can take those ideas and then go and execute and make it happen. And you can rely on them to organize the team and keep things rolling around. And I think a lot of, whether you call them an integrator, whether you call them a COO, an operations manager, I think they can have a real impact. And I know I experienced something similar when we had our first operations manager, of just having so many things taken off my plate. But I think it's also challenging, because that, as accountants, we're thinking, is that person revenue generating? Yeah. So what did that look like for you? Did you bring Ashley on in a revenue generating role to start with, or did she go straight away into that kind of operations role?
So she went straight away into the operations role. So I knew that was an investment. I knew it was a risk, and I didn't have a job description for her. I really just invested in her. And one of the first things she did in the first year was, at that time, we didn't have, I don't even think we used proposal. Like, I think our contracts were like just super, like a handshake deal on the pricing. It was just pull it out of my, you know, just whatever random number I decided to quote the client. So we're using,
what are they willing to pay?
Fixed fee pricing. And I'd put it on a spreadsheet or on a Word document. And so one of the first things she did was implement GoProposal. And so built out all of our services, went and met with all of our team members, went over each client, took what every one of the services that we're actually doing for those clients and put it in GoProposal, and then went out and met with every single client and rescoped them. Mm-hmm. So she increased our fees that first year more than her salary. And so, like, when I say she's smart, those are the kinds of things that she does. Is, I think, a good operator understands that part of their role is, part of their responsibility is the financial performance of the company. Mm-hmm. And as an operator, they have the ability to control that. And so she had the foresight and understanding to know that she wasn't a revenue generating employee, but she could make impact by doing something like that.
Love that. And that's an example of someone almost thinking like a business owner. That's quite a different hat to thinking about how can I service clients well. One of the mistakes I see people make with hiring is they see someone who's a great strategist, but we're mostly small business owners. Most of us don't have more than 20, 30, 40 staff. And I find that you need an executor. So if I was thinking about hiring a marketing role, that's where I spend my time now. I've made the mistake of hiring people who are only strategists. And then you need another person to execute, or just that you have all these great ideas floating around and nothing happens. So that's something I'm very conscious of when I'm hiring, encourage our team to think about too, is can this person actually execute? And I think accountants are generally pretty good at executing, but the challenges I've had have been in other roles around marketing, HR, those kind of areas. So if you were to be giving advice to an accounting firm owner, bookkeeping firm owner, hiring someone that could grow, the admin or operations person, and someone that can execute, when's the right time to hire a role like that? If you've got one employee, it might be a little too early, but where is that sweet spot of the right time to hire that person?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think of, I think I only had two employees at that point. So I would say as soon as you can, and if you can hire, even if you can hire an admin and you maybe can't afford a COO, I think you're better off hiring somebody that's an admin or somebody that can grow into an operator role versus going and hiring a COO from a larger organization, because you need somebody that can get their hands dirty and grow with the company. So as soon as you can say, hey, this is the minimum salary that I can make this year, and you want to invest in the long-term growth of your business, that's the time to do it. Scott and I talk about this a lot. Like last year, I had a really good year financially, and then like probably 0% this month, but I invested in another admin, I invested in marketing. And so I think profitability is fluid, and you just really have to think about these humps that you have to get over in order to get to the end goal. So we're in a way you're buying your freedom, mm-hmm. and think about the long-term advantages of that over the short-term hit that you will take to your bottom line. And some people are in a place where they can do that.
Yeah. Amazing. This has been great, Nicole. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to share, talk about related to this whole theme of what is enough and having a lifestyle as well as running an accounting firm?
Yeah, I think just keep having fun. Like if you're not having fun, figure out why that is and think about personally what you want first before you set business goals, because business is the reason you have your business in the first place is to meet your personal goals. So that's my only advice.
And where's the best place that people can get in touch with you or follow you on social media?
Sure. So LinkedIn is a good place to get in touch with me. My name is spelled with a K-N-I-K-O-L-E, McKenzie. And then you can also email me, nicole.mckenzie@momentumaccounting.com, or go to our website, momentumaccounting.com.
Yeah.
Long but easy to remember.
It's a great name. Business is all about momentum. I've never actually said that to you before, but great name. Thanks again.
Yes, of course.
What a great conversation that was with Nicole, exploring how to build a lifestyle-friendly firm. It's interesting to think about the balance between work and life outside of that. And I really enjoyed Nicole's take on how she's been purposeful about making sure that she's able to enjoy the things she's doing in the business and gaining happiness and fulfillment through that, rather than only focusing on her personal life to bring her those things. I also enjoyed our conversation about hiring and specifically bringing forward some of those key hiring decisions to help create freedom and more of a lifestyle firm. I realized that can create cash flow challenges, particularly in the early years of a firm, but it's an interesting perspective and definitely something worth thinking about to see if that's something you could do in your firm. If you'd like to connect with Nicole and find out more about Momentum Accounting, we have all of the links in the show notes. And if you'd like to get in touch with us directly or to find out more about the podcast, head on over to lifestyleaccountant.co. See you next week.